Ramsey TV.
What do you think the priests in Israel did when that temple veil was rent in two at the death of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel? I mean, this is an amazing thing that somehow not many people talk about, but it answers a lot of questions. It solves a lot of arguments, such as what happened to Israel? When was the road opened up for the nations, for the body of Christ? Is there such a thing as Christians becoming a replacement for God's promises to Israel? It's all there in the rending of the temple veil at the death of Christ. Welcome. This is Martin Zender, your MZ TV, and unbelievable. I think it would have made a loud noise. Jesus Christ dies, and that giant, word has it, that it was a giant, heavy veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. In the holy place, you have the candlestick, you have the showbread, you have the altar of incense, and then that cubicle, the Holy of Holies, where the high priest went once a year to deal with, to cover, to make an offering for the sins of Israel. Well, that game was up. That game was up. Temporarily. Going to explain that when that temple veil went down. But what do you think the priests did? Well, this is what they did. They went to Amazon.com and they ordered another one. And they hung it. And it was business as usual for the pretenders in Israel. They were already pretenders, but God deigned to continue to occupy the Holy of Holies, the Shekinah glory, the presence between the wings of the cherubim above the Ark of the Covenant. But no more. That was done. And from that day forward, Israel did not have a temple. And I don't think the disciples ever went back to it. Well, at least not until the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon them. They would have realized that God has vacated the temple. And from this day forward, until Jesus Christ returns to set up the kingdom for Israel, the Spirit of God would dwell in human beings. This is why Paul could say in Acts chapter 17, God does not live in temples built by human hands. He couldn't have said that before the death of Christ, because God did dwell in a temple built by human hands. It was Herod's temple. So what this did, the spiritual significance of this, of course you know this, I think, but I'm going to say it anyway, put it on record here, is that the road was now open for the nations, because that temple veil and the Holy of Holies represented the exclusivity of Israel's claim on God. No more. No more. Now I'm saying the road was open. Now Paul had not been called yet. Saul had not been called yet on the road to Damascus. That was maybe, I don't know what, 30 years away? No, less than that. I don't know exactly when Saul was called, but I don't think it was that long after that. But no doubt that Paul told the nations about this. Do you know what happened when Jesus Christ died? The veil of the temple was ripped into supernaturally by God. That would have excited the nations. Now, does this mean that God is finished with Israel? That's the problem. Many people look at that and they say, well, that's it. God's obviously done with Israel. He's done with the Levitical priesthood. He's done with that temple. The next temple that will be occupied by God will be the temple described by Ezekiel the prophet. It'll be the millennial temple. Now, this is not to say that there won't be a false temple before that, because there will be. We know this because the man of lawlessness will enter the temple and show that he is God. What temple? Exactly. There must be a false temple. Sometime soon, and as I've told you, as I said at the conference in South Carolina, it doesn't have to be a big ornate thing. That's what people are looking for. That's why they're not going to see it when it happens. Christianity is looking for another Solomonic style temple. And they're looking for it to be built on the Dome of the Rock. Who says it has to be built on the Dome of the Rock? Do you see any prophecies having to do with the Dome of the Rock? Of course not. It didn't exist. It didn't exist. It's a modern phenomenon. The Dome of the Rock. Ooh, the Dome of the Rock. We got to consider the Dome of the Rock. The Dome of the Rock. It's irrelevant. That temple can go anywhere. It doesn't matter because it's going to be a false temple. So, that temple at the end of the tribulation will be destroyed. And a joyful, happy Israel, they will build the new temple. You see, the law is not done away, my friends. No, 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 no. The law shall go forth from Zion. There's nothing wrong with the law of Moses. People accuse me, you're doing away with the law of Moses. Martin Sander, why do you hate the law of Moses? I don't hate the law of Moses. It's perfect. Number one, the law of Moses came only to one nation, Israel. And a corollary is it did not come to us, we of the nations. But there's nothing wrong with the law. It just could not be implemented by people who are attempting it by the strength of their flesh. This is why God promises in Jeremiah 31:31 and in other places that he will write his law, his law, his law. He will write his law on the hearts of Israel. This is called the new covenant. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 11. Speaking of Romans chapter 11, it's all there for anybody who wants to know what God is doing with Israel, what he will do with Israel, what he has done with Israel. Because of their self-righteousness, they could never do the law. Most of them are disqualified for the thousand-year kingdom. Those who are qualified have recognized that, ooh, the temple veil went. So that system, for the time being, is gone, is out, is obsolete. Notice I say for the time being. Paul lays it all out. God is temporarily blinded Israel until the fullness of the nations come in. Ooh, what happens after that? That word until is pregnant. Oh yes, it's large with child, that word, because there will come a time when God will not harden Israel anymore. He will pour his spirit upon them and he will change their heart of stone to a heart of flesh, and they will properly do the law of Moses. So you see, it's not the law of Moses that's the problem. It's the people that are the problem. God's going to do a remarkable, miraculous thing overnight with the people of Israel. And that is, he's going to write his law on their hearts. And they will do it not from an outward, fleshly attempt to please God, but they will do it as an outflowing. It'll be an outflowing of the Spirit of God that has come on them in a miraculous way. It's called the, you can call it being born again. Call it the new covenant. Well, the new covenant is the thing. Being born again is the miracle that happens with the people of Israel. But that veil being rent, that opened the way for a guy named Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, opened the way for him to come out with a new gospel. And Peter sees the vision of the sheet lowering down with all the unclean animals. Christ says, kill and eat. I ain't going to kill and eat. This is all unclean. Christ says, what I have declared clean, you don't declare unclean. So the hierarchy, I shouldn't say the hierarchy, the big shots in Jerusalem, Peter, James, the James gang, they're having to make major adjustments. And Paul actually writes Hebrews for them and for the other Israelites that wondered, what happened? What happened to the kingdom? It's been temporarily put on hold to allow for a secret administration, which is the era of the nations, which is a gospel, a different gospel, having to do with transcendent grace, having to do with calling out a people called the body of Christ, that God will then employ among the celestials to bring those creatures, the conciliation of God, spoken of clearly in Colossians 1, verses 16 through 20. God, through Christ, will reconcile all things to himself, whether those in the heavens or those on the earth. So God is not finished with Israel. No, 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 far from it. But that system that was run by Levitical priests has been done away with. Israel hasn't been done away with. The law hasn't been done away with. It's all in Romans 11. Israel's temporarily set aside. Temporarily. And then two major things are going to happen when Jesus Christ returns. Number one, he is going to be chief priest. That alone presupposes the existence of a temple. And Ezekiel writes in detail concerning the new temple, the millennial temple. And Jesus Christ will not be a priest along the order of Levi, because he was out of Judah. He couldn't be a priest. It's all explained in Hebrews. Love that book. Explains so much. He's going to be a priest out of a new order called the Melchizedek priesthood. Don't have time to talk about that now, but it's one of my favorite topics. But what mother would name her son Melchizedek? That's what I want to know. Anyway, the Melchizedek priesthood predated the Levitical priesthood. Love it. So God has a plan, and to me it began. People argue about when the body of Christ began. When did God officially cast away Israel? That's the big question. When did God officially cast away Israel? Could it be more obvious when God cast away Israel? Could it be more obvious? It was when that temple veil was rent in two. That was when God was temporarily finished with Israel. I know there were still a few years there where Israel had the, quote, opportunity to repent. But God knew they wouldn't repent. Martin, how did God know? Really? Because he planned it all ahead of time. That's how. Some people say Israel was not officially cast aside until Acts 28:28, when Paul was in Rome. And he pronounces once again the curse on Israel. I guess he doesn't pronounce it. He reviews it. Quotes the Isaiah prophecy, seeing you won't see, hearing you won't hear, stubborn, stiff-necked, and all this. That was just another announcement of it. It was just another rehash of an old prophecy that was true of Israel back in the day, and was in Isaiah's day, and it was true of Israel when Paul was in Rome. It's still true of Israel. It's still true of Israel. But again, the situation is temporary. Yes, it is. The nations have not replaced Israel. They're an entirely new creation. We don't replace anybody. We're an entirely new creation of God. But God is gracious. He has not forgotten his promises to Israel. But when was Israel temporarily cast aside? Duh. I'm not saying duh to you. I'm saying duh to people who think it was any other time than when that temple veil came down. What could be more obvious? And yet, I don't hear anybody talking about it. When the discussion comes around, the one that God cast Israel aside temporarily, cast them aside. He didn't thrust them away, cast them aside. When did it happen? Oh, let's see. It was a loud noise. that veil coming down. I love it. Israel no longer had the exclusive license. They no longer owned the franchise on God. God was saying, I'm doing something new. And if this doesn't convince you I'm doing something new, I don't know what will.